certain geography, certain places, as opposed to the people that was in that was inhabiting them at the time. And this idea that somehow Kentucky is special in a dark and bloody way, you make the case for by looking at the number of things that happened in this one part of Kentucky. And it really begs the question, going back to what we talked about in the first hour about the spirits of Bobby Mackey's music world, whether there isn't something to this.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, I didn't think so initially. When I started researching this part of the book, my only goal was to visit a town called Ashland, Kentucky. And the reason I wanted to do that was because Charlie Manson grew up there. And not only Charlie Manson, but right across the river from Ashland in West Virginia, Bobby Joe Long, a serial killer, was born and raised. And then not too far from them, and just to the West Virginia-Virginia border, Henry Lee Lucas, you know, was born. And I'm thinking to myself, it's like a Bermuda Triangle of serial killers and mass murderers.
Right.
What is it about this particular part of the country that seems to attract, you know, or produce these people? So I decided to take a look. And book one is about me, you know, getting in the car and, you know, and driving through West Virginia and into Ashland. And that's when I realized there was something to geography, because as soon as you come into Ashland, Kentucky, you see the Central Park, which is a bunch of Indian burial mounds right in the middle of town. And I thought to myself, well, this is bizarre, you know. And trying to find out what was in those burial mounds and who built them was almost impossible. I mean, no one seemed to be able to tell me what was found inside. Evidently, they had been opened, and then they had been closed. The restoration was done by a Boy Scout troop. I mean, it was just so strange. And the town itself, I don't want to malign Ashland, Kentucky. You're going to start getting calls. But there is a very strange building there. It's a huge apartment building that has two griffins on its roof, sort of like the cherubim from the Ark of the Covenant, you know. And they're on top of the roof. They're very strange. And if you read the town's brochure, the town brochure says they're strange. They said they're typically there to ward off evil. And as I'm reading the brochure, it also mentions the fact that that entire building was moved from one or two blocks away to its present position, right in a line with the Indian burial mounds, and it doesn't say why. Now, moving that house was quite an undertaking, I can tell you. This was a huge building.
Right.
Why would you move a huge building two blocks away? You know, uproot the whole thing from its foundations and cart it over to two blocks and then, you know, align it directly with the burial mound. So my mind was, you know, was flipping over here a couple of times. I'm thinking, Charlie Manson grew up in this town. You know, what was going on here? And that's when I researched Kentucky. And, of course, the word Kentucky does mean dark and bloody ground. The Native American population itself had a hard time with the territory. And with West Virginia as well. You don't find much of evidence of Native American population in West Virginia. You know, indigenously, there just weren't any. Why did the Native Americans avoid that part of the world? You know, what was wrong with it? You find very little evidence, but you do find ancient evidence, evidence of ancient cultures in Kentucky and in West Virginia and in Ohio, which points to, you know, the old people, as they're sometimes called, the ones that were before the Native American population, which is a controversial subject.
Sure.
You know, so but the mounds are there.
So what do you think it is? What do you think that is then? I mean, that should produce these serial killers. And then how do we tie that to Bobby Mackey's music world?
Well, I think it's part of the guest you had on previously talked about, you know, the fact that there's a river that runs north in that town. I mean, there are geographical, you know, anomalies. There's weird stuff, you know, in that area between West Virginia into Kentucky and up to Covington. That whole stretch, man, has had some very strange stuff. Ashland itself was the site of a massacre, a horrible series of events. There was a murder of three children on Christmas Eve in that town. Two girls and a boy. A boy was handicapped, and this was about 100 years ago. And these three children were left alone by their parents. I don't understand that whole thing, but the father went someplace in West Virginia. The mother decided to visit somebody in Ohio. So the three children are left alone in this house on Christmas Eve, and they're horribly murdered, and the house is set on fire. Well, they all kinds of people are trying to find out who did it. They bring in detectives from out of town. Everyone's trying to find who did it. They find some guy who kind of claims he did it, as kind of not sure about it. They arrest him. They arrest two of his friends. And they're going to take him to jail and be tried. But the people won't have it. They attack the jail. The National Guard, essentially the militia, is called out. And there is a massacre of townspeople as the troops try to take away these three convicted killers on a boat. They have to fire on the people. The people are firing on them. And it's called the Ashland Tragedy, the Ashland Massacre. You know, a Christmas Eve murder, three children, none of it made much sense. The newspapers in Ohio said this was, you know, the people they arrested did not do it. There were hints of there was maybe some satanic activity involved, some cult activity. There was all kinds of speculation. But in the end, these three people were hung. I mean, they were executed. One died, I think, killed by the mob and hung on a tree in the middle of town, and the other two were executed. So, you know, there was just such violence, such horrible, you know, senseless violence in that part of the country. The famous Hatfield and McCoy, feud
sure.
took place in that area. I mean, there was this inexplicable types of violence, and I used to think maybe it's something in the water, you know.
Right.
Ashland's chemical company is right there, belching all sorts of stuff into the air when I was there, you know, turning the sky gray with pollutants, I imagine. I mean, all sorts of things were going on. And then, you know, Charlie grew up there.
Well, how about this? What if areas of the country, say Salem, Massachusetts, we'll use that, or this part of Kentucky, or even the CIA, that what we the pattern of history as we look at it through your lens and sinister forces is that anytime an area or a group of people becomes isolated, there is a devolution, that people devolve into something else other than their best selves.
Well, I think maybe there's a tie between the two. It's perhaps people tend to devolve in areas that are conducive to that too, perhaps. You know, I think it's interrelated. You may have certain geographical areas like the areas we're talking about that used to be a locus for, you know, for other cultures that we don't know anything about. And communities tend to gravitate there. We, for some reason, we have this tendency to build prisons on the side of Indian burial mounds.
Really?
Through Ohio and Chillicothe, Ohio, where Henry Lee Lucas was kept. Was built on the site of a large Indian burial mound in Moundsville, West Virginia. That's where Squeaky Fromme was kept, you know, one of the Manson killers.
Sure.
And that's at the site of an Indian burial mound. And for those of you who want to go to the UFO direction, you know, Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, built on the site of an Indian burial mound. You know, we tend to put our military installations and our prisons on these sites. Is it something in those sites? Is it, you know, is there something sinister about these places?